Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this hour talk about life, news, and anything interesting. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of the Chillax podcast. I hope all of you are doing well today. You know, today we're going to try something new. This last 2 weeks of the year, we're going to be looking at interesting topics on Ask Reddit. Previously, I've done it, and you know, a lot of you guys were listening to it, and it was quite popular. So why not just look into the deep end of the internet or some interesting content, and perhaps also share my experience, right? So on this subreddit page, it's called Ask Reddit, where, you know, it's a place where people come in to ask and answer thought-provoking questions, and you have a lot of interesting questions. And as we fast approach our 2023 and the end of 2022, I filtered it by the most upvoted, the most popular questions of this year. And one of those questions was, what dark secret are you hiding from everyone? So this is quite a interesting question, and you see a lot of people sharing very deep and personal stuff. Of course, I'm going to try and pick up the more interesting ones. Okay, there's a lot of very negative, but I want to look at the more funny, interesting ones that are, I suppose, relatable to me and perhaps relatable to you. So the first dark secret was shared by this person, Queen of Spoons. Last Christmas, I learned my sister and I don't have the same father and are technically half-sisters. My sister's biological father tried to start a relationship with my mom that resulted in a pregnancy and ultimately didn't work out. The biological father is dead now, but I didn't probe any further about his identity or how he died in case it was something traumatic for my mom to remember. So she raised my sister as a single mother at my grandma's house in the 80s. Then she met my father and they started dating, and it worked out they got married in the 90s, moved into a new house, and a short time after that I was born. She told me never call my sister my house sister and just pretend all of this doesn't matter because she's my sister. And if anyone asks about the 10 year age gap, I just tell them it's a long story. Yeah, so this is quite interesting. Having, I suppose, existed and lived in this world for like close to 30 years really, I sometimes have this kind of thought, right? Some of you guys or girls might be having this kind of thought as well. Like, are you really your parents' child? Maybe some people, you know, you see the features are very much alike, similar to their parents, either the father or the mother. But sometimes, you know, you don't look similar at all. You might not behave the same as them. And you just wonder, like, some of these things you never know, right? Nobody tells you. You can technically hide a secret until you die, alright? You might be adopted and you might never know. They can say you are their child. So a lot of these kind of things, right, just make me wonder, do people who are in this kind of circumstances where they are like half siblings or maybe they are adopted, do their parents tell them? I know that I saw in Channel 8 or whatever local TV series, generally the case is, oh, you know, it's very dramatized, right? The parents will tell the child like, hey, you're adopted, then they cry, then the child will go and find the actual biological parents. I mean, I've seen that happen before, and also seen that happen in TV series, but is that really true that it's what happening? Or is it something more of like, you just take it to your grave, that kind of scenario here? This is quite interesting because I have encountered that is similar to this, not exactly the same. I was having a conversation with my mom. All I know, right, from my mother's side is that, oh, okay, I know my mom has a brother and two sisters, that's all. But she revealed to me that actually there's a even older brother, so technically there's like, not just three siblings plus her, there's like one extra sibling that I never know about. Because this sibling, right, was in China. So it seems like the eldest brother was born in China. Then the parents decides to migrate over here to Singapore. And that is quite interesting because it's like, why didn't you bring the elder brother along, right? And they say, oh, maybe the elder brother that time is a bit too old already. Yeah, then I was thinking, how big is that age gap, yeah? And that was when I realized like, wow, you know, your parents might be keeping secrets that you never know about. And in a family where, I suppose like mine, where I'm not very close with my parents, right, we don't really share very deep or emotional or personal stuff, there are a lot of things that you never know, you don't know about. Even if you ask, they might not even tell you. And you know, this kind of made me think about this kind of situation, right? So I'm just wondering what our parents are hiding, what kind of secrets they're hiding, right? The next story. When I was younger, I lived with my grandmother. Not long after I turned 18, her health started to decline. That sort of decline that, you know, she won't be around for much longer. Over the months, I did my best to take care of her, getting her to the hospital when she needed, and other things. We had someone coming every day to help her with things I couldn't. Well, what my family doesn't know is that the night she passed, I was in the living room watching TV. My dog was in bed with my grandma, and I started to hear him whimper and bark. I knew what was happening. I knew that if I acted, I could potentially save her. I didn't want to watch her suffer anymore though, to watch her live with so much pain and unable to do anything for herself anymore. So I made the choice to let her pass before making any calls. She lived 92 years, and the only regret I have is that she passed a month after I would have graduated if I hadn't been kicked out of school. She had been in good enough health at the time to go to my graduation. I still kick myself for how stupid I was back then. This was quite a... I don't know how to describe it. Like, it made me think a lot about death, right? I mean, I really reached like near 30s once again. Keep on mentioning it. And it made me think, right? Because right now, if you think about generally what age people die, it's about 60 to 80, right? And the fact that I'm near my 30s, I'm halfway there already, or 2/3 there. Of course, like, I don't think I want to die, live until 90. 90, I'm not really functioning already, right? But let's just take it, I'm halfway there already. And these kind of thoughts will happen, you know? And realize like anything that's halfway there is quite a long journey already. You're almost to the end. And this like existential, this kind of thought just kept on happening, like, oh my god, I'm really gonna die, you know? If I'm not gonna do anything, enjoy my life now, right? It's soon gonna be over. And as you grow up, as you get older and older, you realize time passes faster and faster. And now, with lesser time because you have to work and survive and earn money, right? You have even lesser time. So, am I gonna live this life forever until I die? Until like, I'm like 60, 70 years old, right? To the point of the story also. It made me think about, when you are that old, right, is it even worth living anymore? I don't know what's the word, incapacitated or something, right? You can't even function, you can't really think properly, and like, what's the point? Because to me, life is worth living when you have the energy, your friends are around you, when you still can do things and you can think clearly, right? But when you reach the end, where you are like really going through so much illnesses, is it even worth it or not? Should you just end your life? That's why you have that kind of euthanasia, right? Like in, I don't know, I think Switzerland or something, self-euthanasia. In Singapore, you don't have this kind of stuff. It also kind of relates to your pet animal, right? And when it's suffering so much, then you just, I don't know, put an end to it. And this makes me really think about, how long do I want to live? When will I like really stop functioning and feel pain, right? Because personally, I don't like to feel pain at all. I like to avoid pain. And when the day comes, it's going to be very painful, and I don't think I can handle it, and I wish I can just pass away quietly in my sleep. I don't know, how do you die? And when you are having some sort of illness, do you die in a painful death? I'm not quite sure, but this really made me think about, I don't know, like, life is short, man. I should just live life to the fullest, right? The next story is by this person called Dirtbag McGee. I don't know what this means. But the person said, my wife, her mom, and I bought a house about 2 years ago. Just from talking to the neighbors, I gathered that the family who lived here before had a daughter that was mixed up with the wrong people. We had some random person knock on our door at night saying he needed gas. We are down a long driveway. No way you will randomly walk up to our house to ask for help. I think he was looking for the people who used to live here, and then another time, Sunday morning, making pancakes for the family, I get a knock on the door, and it's 4 sheriff officers saying they received a 911 call that hung up. And it was from the house. Okay, that's strange. We didn't have a landline, and I assured them my wife and 2-year-old did not make any call. They mentioned the name of the previous occupants, and I let them know we moved in earlier this year, and they seemed okay with that and left. Anyway, I was doing some yard work and struck up conversation with the neighbor. He saw the police cars and asked what was up. I told him the situation, and he just goes, oh yeah, that family was messed up. The cops were probably being cautious considering the shooting. What shooting, I asked. He kinda looks at me with a sad, worried face. The shooting in your house. He then proceeds to tell me about 2 years before, the father in the house confronted his daughter and boyfriend he didn't like, and shot and killed the boyfriend in the house. Our state doesn't have a disclosure law, so we never knew. I was blown away. All the strange happenings kinda make sense now. He said the friends of the victim had kind of terrorized them for a while cause the police were taking so long to press charges, slash tires, midnight fireworks, odd shit that the neighbors hated. I was shocked, but I just said, that's crazy, but hey, do me a favor and never tell my wife or mother-in-law about that. They are a little spooked by things like that. The TLDR short answer is that we live in a murder house. and I'm the only one of my family that knows. Jeez, you know, this kind of makes me think about the house I'm gonna get. I guess that most likely I'm gonna be getting a resale flat, right? I'm not gonna be waiting 5 years. And let's say I assume I don't get married or I don't have a partner when I reach 35. I'm not gonna get a BTO. I'm gonna get a resale flat to move out ASAP. Or even if I get a partner or a wife by the time I reach like 32, 31 or whatever it is, I will also get a resale flat because I don't think there's enough time. Let's say I get married at 31, then we BTO. And then BTO also takes time. And if you want a good location, it also takes time. And then by the time it gets built, you are 36, 37, 38 already. Living with your parents for so long, man, how does that make sense, right? You of course gonna get a resale flat. And then this makes me think, when I buy a resale flat, I don't think Singapore has a disclosure kind of agreement, right? Is there? I'm not familiar with these things, but I suppose there is. But if the person don't disclose, then how? You will never know, right? You never know what has happened. Some crazy shit has happened, right? Someone might have been killed. Okay, I don't think murders happen in Singapore every day, but just some weird shit that has happened. And you don't know how the neighbor is like. You don't know how the left side, right side, upstairs, downstairs, all the neighbors, whether there's any kind of noise happening. And I mean, you can always go there several times a day. You can go there in the morning, afternoon, and night. But there's a lot of effort, a lot of time. And I think about the kind of the effort and the time taken to do all these things, right? When you have work to juggle with, right? You have to take leave, then you have to go there 3 times a day. And for me, I'm someone who is a very slow and deliberate buyer. When I buy things, right, when I buy big purchases, I really need to do a lot of research and think things through. I can't just go in and buy. I mean, last time I used to like just, oh, got money, go in and buy whatever I want, no need to do research. But now I'm very much more careful with my money, right? And when I buy anything, I'll really go and research a lot. And for a house, how much can you research, right? And a lot of this is also physical effort you have to go down. And sometimes you are not allowed to do that. You can come down to the house. You don't have to have the agent around. You can just stand outside the door and see what is going on and hear what is going on, right? But wow, it's so much of a waste of time, man. And bearing in mind the fact that I'm going to be living in that house for most of my life, there's so much thing to think about that it really paralyzes me. I can't make a decision at all. I mean, I know what I want to put in my house, but I can't decide which location I want to go. And I don't know, man. This is tough. That's why a rental is better to some extent, right? You can rent this place and you don't like it, you can move. But then this is never your house. And can I knock down the wall? Can I put picture frames up? Can I do whatever I want with the house? You can't. And I think that really kind of pretty annoying, renting things and having to answer to someone. I don't want to answer to anybody. Maybe my wife, that's all. So I don't know. There's much to think about here. And for the final story is by this person called Jimmy Sweet Spot. He said, funny, light-hearted story from my childhood. My little brother was in the shower. I could hear him singing. I put a coat on backwards and a stocking cap put over my face and waited outside the bathroom door. He opened the door, still singing and dancing, and I did the Frankenstein thing. Arms out, moaning, He screamed and fell backwards, knocking the toilet completely over. Water went everywhere. The top of the toilet tank broke, shower curtain ripped off, and him laying on the floor in the middle of all of this. I went back down the hall, coat and hats off, and sauntered back casually. By then, my mother and father and our sisters were there, and everyone is like, you know what the hell? I've heard him tell this story as proof of the existence of ghosts. To this day, the little fella is now a 52-year-old bank manager with 2 kids. He believes in ghosts. I don't feel a bit bad. That's really sad. And then there was a comment that says, ha ha ha, poor guy. You changed his philosophy and perception of reality. Okay, this was quite a funny, lighthearted story. I think this kind of, when I was reading this, right, it was funny and it reminded me of something that happened in the past and I never really had the opportunity to share it. I really wanted to share like this story, but it's not long enough for me to share in one episode, but this is a perfect opportunity to share it. So this story, right, happens during 7 months. So, I mean, for all our Chinese folks or even our non-Chinese folks, you will know that during the 7 month, Chinese kind of have this kind of thing, right? Where all the ghosts come out from hell and then people would kind of burn offerings like the joss sticks, the food, they will offer this food And then they will burn all these like paper to offer to these ghosts, these hungry ghosts. The backstory is more of like these ghosts from the depths of hell. They done a lot of bad things, they are bad people or whatever it is. And then during this month of the year or this specific period, they are able to roam free. I'm not quite sure what was the reason. Why would they want to let them roam free? Maybe it's like, you know, showing some sort of kindness, I guess. I'm not too sure. The story here is every year, right? I think when I was young, I would follow my parents down and do this kind of offerings because my parents are quite religious in the... I'm not quite sure what kind of religion is that. People can say it's Buddhism, but I don't think it's Buddhism. It's more of Taoism, like something that is born in Singapore that has a mishmash of like Buddhism, Taoism, a lot of different practices. And this was one of those practices that I think a lot of the older folks practice, and my parents are very much dedicated to it. So they will have a table, they will do all these... they will buy all this chicken, roast pork, or a lot of chips and drinks to offer to these ghosts. And then they will start the day, and then they will set up the table, they will do all these offerings, they will set up the joss sticks, and then we will pray. Then after we have done that, as a way to end things off, we will go down to the like void deck. Not void deck, I think sometimes it's void deck, or sometimes it could be like your playground nearby, they will have the burner, right? Then we'll go down to the burner, and then we'll start burning these offerings. And these offerings, usually we are burning those papers, like those golden foil paper. It was quite fun back then. It was like, you know, get to burn things. I mean, like, when do you get to burn things, right? And for some reason, I think as a kid, I really love to burn things. Because the other time you can burn stuff is during Mid-Autumn Festival, right? Like the Lantern Festival. You can light your candles, you can burn things, you can play with sparklers. And then the other time is Chinese New Year. And then that's all. These are the only two times in the year you can do this. And this is the other time where you can actually burn something. So I was like quite excited to go down to just burn like all this paper. It was fun, but then it became quite a terrible thing, because this is the interesting thing that happens, where it really made me think whether this kind of supernatural stuff exists, right? And I'm someone who doesn't believe in it at all. I really need to see it. I'm someone who will suspend my belief, like, okay, it could happen, it could be real, and it could be fake. I'm not too sure, but I want to see to believe, right? And what happened for the past 3 years, right, when I was in secondary school, or I think in primary school, burning and celebrate, not really celebrating, but like attending this whole ritual, and not really ritual, but more of a customary process, right, where I was burning the paper. And then the first year, right, what I did was, I was burning it. I was really happy. I was enjoying it. And then I said something. I said, the prosperity god, like the Tyson year, right, is burning this to like give money to all these ghosts. I said it out loud. Like, oh no, I'm like this prosperity god giving money. What happened shortly, like it was immediately 1 week afterwards, right? I fell from my bike. And I legit, you know, I was like riding my bike, maybe a bit too fast, and I hit some sort of curb. And then I fell from my bike, and I had very deep wounds where like I have these grazes on my leg and my hand, right? That is still on my hand. I can still see, it's visible, you know, until this day at this age. So I thought, you know, it's a one-time thing. I'm a kid. I rode recklessly. I didn't see where I'm going. That's why I fell down. So it was alright, right? One-time thing. But then the interesting thing is the second time, the second year, the next year, I was doing the same thing. I was like burning the paper, and then I said the same thing again. I made the same joke. And what happened? Immediately 1 week after, the same situation, the same period, the same timing, I fell from my bike. And I have another scar now. The first time I really had a deep scar, like on my right palm. The second time, I had the scar on my left thigh. So it was like, what the heck is going on? Whenever I make this joke, this will happen, you know. And I didn't tell my mom. Only on the third year, right, I told my mom about this. And my mom told me not to do it. But then I went ahead and do it again. I go and say the same thing, where the Tyson Ye is like offering, giving money to all these ghosts or whatever. And I was joking about it. And I fell again. But I forgot where I fell. I think it was, I fell on my elbow. And then my elbow also have a deep cut. But I can't really see now because the elbow has like folds, right? It's not like a smooth skin. So I fell on my elbow, and then shit. What is going on, man? I kind of like questioning myself, like, what the fuck is going on? 3 years, I say the same shit, and I ride a bike, and then I fell. And it's always 1 week afterwards. And I was like, how is this real, right? Like, what is causing this? Okay, if you think about it logically, what is going on, right? Maybe is it the time of the year where I'm just feeling very energetic, feeling very mighty, and I'm just driving, riding like some crazy madman. But how is it possible that I could be riding for the rest of the year and I never fell a single time, but it's only during this period? And if you say I fell during December, during monsoon period, it makes sense, it was raining, but it's not. It's not. I've been riding this playground for almost my entire secondary school, my primary school, but yet I fell and I don't know why. 3 times in a row. And after 3 times in a row, I just like, okay, I need to stop saying this shit really. I just go down, burn, enjoy the process, but don't say a single word. Then after the 4th year, 5th year onwards, this no longer happens anymore. Then I was like, what the heck is going on, man? And that was like the one time where I really have this kind of paranormal, weird, unexplainable shit happen to me. That time afterwards, I just try and be very careful with my words around these kind of things. I mean, it could be real, it could be not real, but also it's to show some sign of respect, right? And not just mouth off things. I realize I can be not very tactful, so I should just keep it to myself and, you know, just do whatever needs to be done. That's the interesting story. I'm not quite sure whether you guys have experienced something similar or anything that's supernatural or unusual. I'll be keen to hear you out. Anyway, if you have been listening to this podcast for a very long time and you really enjoy it, you can check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/chillaxpodcast, where you can support this podcast monetarily for as cheap as a cup of taping. You can support this podcast and you can get a bonus episode every month. All this money will go towards building up the video setup, the live stream setup, and allow me to, you know, have some time to focus on other content as well, explore different kind of podcast content that would make things more interesting for you guys. And that's all, and I hope you guys have a good week ahead, and I will see you guys next week for our last episode of the year.